Proverbs. I'm going to be reading out of the Living Bible tonight. And one of the things I'm learning right now that I do like about the ESV that we normally use, and that is it has larger print. My Living Bible's print is a little bit smaller, so if I don't read it as well. In Proverbs chapter 2, verse 7 to 10, He grants good sense to the godly, His saints. He is their shield, protecting them and guarding their pathway. He shows how to distinguish right from wrong and how to find the right decision every time. For wisdom and truth will enter the very center of your being, filling your life with joy. Now let's go to chapter 4, and I'm going to read verses 1 to 13, a little lengthy reading. Young men, and again, I tell you, Proverbs, I think, was written to the boys that they could go to school, learn how to be men. Young men, listen to me as you would your father. Listen and grow wise, for I speak the truth. Don't turn away, for I too was a son, tenderly loved by my mother as an only child, and the companion of my father. He told me never to forget his words. If you follow them, he said, you will have a long and happy life. Learn to be wise, he said, and develop good judgment and common sense, which, by the way, is not all that common. I cannot overemphasize this point. Cling to wisdom, she will protect you. Love her, she will guard you. Determination to be wise is the first step in becoming wise. And with your wisdom, develop common sense and good judgment. If you exalt wisdom, she will exalt you. Hold her fast, and she will lead you to great honor. She will place a beautiful crown upon your head. My son, listen to me and do as I say, and you will have a long and good life. I would have you learn this great fact, that a life of doing right is the wisest life there is. If you live that kind of life, you'll not limp or stumble as you run. Carry out my instructions. Do not forget them, for they will lead you to real living. On Sunday nights, we've been kind of walking through Proverbs. Proverbs is wisdom literature, trying to help us to become competent in the realities or in regards to the realities of our life. And part of that is not just the right path, but a lot of wisdom is avoiding the wrong path. Wisdom is doing good things, but also wisdom is avoiding doing the bad things. And we kind of get in wisdom literature, we're going to kind of highlight the seven deadly sins that we kind of came up with, that we kind of look at, that they're seven deadly sins because they will destroy your life if you allow it to. And the first one was lust. And if you've read the Proverbs, we have 31 chapters, and I would say the majority of the text in Proverbs is a warning against adultery and lust. The seductress that calls out, and if you have wisdom, then you can avoid her. Last week, we talked about anger. We talked about our temper, and there's some material in the Proverbs about avoiding the anger problem or the issue. Now, tonight, we're going to look at a subject, and basically, it's number 10 in the Big Ten, or number 10 in the Ten Commandments. It is do not covet, and what we're going to talk about tonight is do not envy. We'll kind of describe what it is. We're kind of define it. And we're going to look. And basically tonight is envy is unwise. When envy is part of our life, we are not living in wisdom. Something else in envy, what you envy, what you want or think that you need or resent in others, if you know what you envy, then you actually know what's your God. Because what you want in others are the things to justify yourself and to give you life. Well, some of the verses in Proverbs about envy, and by the way, there's not as much as you would think. Not nearly like the verses on anger or especially that of lust. But in chapter 3 and verse 31... don't envy violent men. Don't copy their ways. Which, by the way, we're talking to boys. I said this in our ladies' class, and they didn't get too angry at me because they know me. If Proverbs was written to boys and girls, I think there would be more verses on envy. I do think men struggle with envy, but they struggle, I think, in a different way in what they're going to do. And they're going to envy violent men. They're going to envy powerful people. They're going to envy those that have a lot of things. And women will envy different things. Give you an example. If you walk into any store, I don't care which store you walk into, you'll see some magazines, and on the cover of magazines are the beautiful people of the world. And a woman will look at that other woman, and she will feel something about that woman that she sees on the magazine cover, as opposed to a man who may see a bodybuilding magazine where those guys are muscular. They have muscles in places I didn't know had muscles. And what a guy will do is, that's fake. Or a guy will say, that's actually my body that they glued his head on. And guys don't really have near the insecurities on those things because they kind of go in a different, it's not reality, but I guess that's the way they deal with it. But women, a lot of times, they will have a lot of bad things that kind of come into their self-being because they look at this airbrushed picture of someone who has been starving for 2 weeks for that one picture that's not even real anyway. And hold that as a standard against yourself. And what I'm saying is men don't really do that. And for whatever reason, y'all don't hold us to that standard either. Because a lot of times you see that beautiful woman and that ugly guy, and he thinks he's a hunk, and she thinks that there's something wrong with her. So if you'll just let me say there is a struggle with envy. If we're writing to men and women, I think there would be some more verses. I think it would go a different direction. That's all I'm trying to say. If you get angry at that, then email me. Because I don't read my emails. Let's look at chapter 23, verses 17 and 18. Don't envy evil men, but continue to reverence the Lord at all times. And by the way, that's when you get to the third point, this is going to be good. For surely you have a wonderful future ahead of you. There is hope for you yet. And then in chapter 24, verses 1 and 2, don't envy godless men. Don't even enjoy their company, for they spend their days plotting violence and against cheating. Well, let's kind of start with what is envy. Let's kind of have a definition. And to do that, we're going to kind of leave Proverbs, and we're going to go into Psalms, and we're going to actually look at a song that we have in our Bible, and this song is the best definition of envy that I know. In Psalms chapter 73, beginning in verse 1, it says, "How good God is to Israel, to those whose heart are pure." Now, this is a great statement. It's basically said, God blesses those who do good. At least to Israel. But as for me, it's not fair what he does for the people of God and then what he does for me. As for me, I came so close to the edge of a cliff. By the way, when we fall into envy, we're in a dangerous position. We're on a cliff and we could fall off and we can lose some things that are very valuable. My feet were slipping and I was almost gone, for I was envious of the prosperity of the proud and the wicked. I do like the way it was written, because other times we look and you think that he's envious of those because they're proud or envious because they're arrogant. He's not envious because they're proud or arrogant. He's envious because of the prosperity that they have because they are proud and arrogant. He's envious because he looks at people's lives and they have a lot of stuff that he doesn't have, and their life is not nearly as good as his life. They don't keep the rules. They don't do the right thing. Matter of fact, they don't even treat people right. And yet, some reason, somehow, they're blessed and the writer is doing good and he's not blessed. And it's not, by the way, here it is, it's not fair. Yes, all through life, their road is smooth. Billy Joel sings the song, "Only the good die young." You know, hey, everything they do is easy. Everything they do is smooth. You know, everything I do is hard. By the way, there's a little exaggeration here, don't you think? What they do, their life is easy. They never have any problems. They grow sleek, fat. They are always in trouble. By the way, that's a good thing there because they have a lot of stuff, but not maybe in our culture. They aren't always in trouble. They're not plagued with problems like everyone else. So their pride sparkles like a jeweled necklace, and their clothing of woven is of cruelty. These fat cats have everything their hearts could ever wish for. You see, life is just so good for them to have everything, and I'm trying to do it right, and I'm having a struggle. I'm struggling in my relationships. I'm struggling at work. I'm trying to make ends meet. I get to the end of the month and it's a challenge. And I look over the other side and these people that are arrogant and rude and out for themselves, they're doing good. And life's easy. And it's not right. Envy is wanting someone else's life. Kind of looking at their life and I wish I had what they have. Now, how many is old enough to remember Robin Leach and the, what was it? It was the Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. And he had that voice that was so unique. And I think that was the very first one that took us into these homes and into these estates. And we kind of walked through and we think, wow, people actually live there. They have 5 bathrooms and a swimming pool. How cool is that? You'd think with a swimming pool, you wouldn't need a bathroom. And what it did is we kind of walked around, and what happened is it kind of gave an appetite for us because, you know what? It's not fair that they have that and I don't. And all of a sudden we start going in debt and we start doing a lot of things and some things, yeah, I think it's okay to do some things, but it's sometimes going overboard to try to obtain something that we can't obtain because we can't afford it. Keeping up with the Kardashians. Oh, I hope you're not keeping up with the Kardashians. People follow them and watch them and you know what they say? Oh, look, they have everything. And life is so easy for them and it's so smooth. And I tell you what, if you knew the truth, they might tell you a different story, but I tell you what we do, we follow and everybody's looking and we think, oh, if I just had their life. But it's not just wanting someone else's life. Envy also is resenting other people's life. Because it's not just that they have it, it's they have it. And you know what? It should be mine. They do bad things and they have good stuff. And I do good things and I have bad stuff. And that's just not fair. John Gielgud, he wrote in his autobiography. He was writing about the time when Laurence Olivier, he played Hamlet and the critics came out and they said, what a great job. It was marvelous. It was one of the great things that had ever happened. And they just raved his acting ability. And they said, as Laurence Olivier was heralded, John Gielgud said, I cried. You see, he resented his life. Because when what you need to justify your existence. And when you don't have that, and you have the resentment. Let's keep looking at Psalms 73, look at verses 13 to 16. Have I been wasting my time? Why take the trouble to be pure? All I get out of this is trouble and woe every day, all day long. If I had really said that I would have been a traitor to your people, yet it is so hard to explain this prosperity of those who hate the Lord. Oh, it's just not right. It's just not fair. Proverbs 24, verse 7, it says, don't rejoice, don't be happy, even when your enemy prospers or does well. I think we need to be very careful that we don't fall in resentment. I don't know about you, but I used to play sports, but I can't even run now. My legs won't let me run. And I think jogging is one of the craziest things that I've ever seen. But I'll look out at these people, and it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and here it's 95 degrees, and it's 98% humidity. They're wearing dark colors, jogging for health reasons. And I just want to say, you're nuts. And some of them weigh about 78 pounds. And I want to go up to them and say, you're done. Go home. You're fit. Yay! But then there's the part, oh, if I could have the diligence and the discipline to do the things to be healthy. Envy resents someone else's life. Well, let's go to the next one. Envy is actually being dissatisfied with your own life. You know, when you look at somebody else's life and then you resent somebody else's life, actually what we're saying is I really don't like my life and I'm dissatisfied. Paul in Philippians basically said to the church, I found the secret of being content. I wonder why he called it the secret. I wonder what the secret is. Well, I think it's a secret because not many people are content. And I tell you what the secret is of being content. The secret of being content is, you know, it doesn't matter if I have a bunch. It doesn't matter if I don't have litter. If I have Jesus, I have everything I need. I've been rich. I've been poor. There's advantages to both. Paul, to me, is kind of remarkable. Moses said that, you know, he would rather die of Israel if God doesn't go with Israel. Paul said in Romans that he would die for Israel. I think that's great. But to the church at Philippi, he said, I'll stay out of heaven for Philippi. If I die, it's gain. But if I get to stay, it's better for y'all. And I can stay for you. And it's better for me to go home, but I'll stay for y'all. And then he comes to me. Here's the message I want to tell you. I have learned to be content. Whatever I have, it's okay. God's in control, and whatever we have, we'll have. And then I turn on the TV, and I have these commercials. By the way, do you know what commercials? Commercials are designed to make you dissatisfied. You need this. You have to have this. You've had it before, but I tell you, now it's new and improved. You better line up. The National Science Foundation came out and said that we talk to ourselves. We have 50,000 self-talk messages a day. Now, how did they get that? I have no idea. Because I don't know if I'm mad at myself, but I don't talk to myself near that much. But it says that we have 50,000 self-talk messages a day. But then here's the bad part. 85 to 90% of it is negative. So if you do the math, 40,000 messages we give ourselves a day, according to the National Science Foundation, is negative. 40,000 messages. That's why Paul said, I have the secret of being content. We're so overwhelmed with being dissatisfied. I think ultimately what we're saying is, I'm dissatisfied with God. God's not fair. He's blessing them. He's not blessing me. We're saying God isn't going to do what's right. And actually, envy is actually being angry with God. Well, the second point, why is envy so harmful? Well, in Proverbs 14 and verse 30, and the Living Bible uses the word jealousy, but it's kind of the same thing. A relaxed attitude lengthens a man's life. Jealousy rots it away. When we envy, by the way, envy will rob you of joy. Envy will rob you of contentment. Envy will rob you of life. Now here's the thing about lust. Lust will for a season give pleasure. There's actually an immediate, and that's kind of the problem, it gives you an immediate gratification. Even with other sins, greed, and you kind of go down the list, anger. Even with anger, there's when you get mad and you do something, there's that initial, oh, right, I feel good, I feel powerful. And then you go, oh, that was dumb. But at least you get that immediate, that first burst of, ooh, that feels good. Did you know there's no benefit to envy? It doesn't even give you the initial fleeting pleasures that... No, it starts off bad and it gets worse. It gets in and then it just totally rots out yourself and it just totally robs you of the joy. There is no payoff. It's all bad. And what happens is you lose your trust in the Lord. You get disappointed with God. I got a great example. Adam and Eve. Now, I don't understand Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve, in the garden, in paradise, they have everything. And God said, there's one thing I'm not going to let you have. There's one tree. Can you imagine that? Now, I'm thinking in my head that if that was me, I could probably live a long time without touching one tree if I'm in paradise and I have everything else. And then old devil shows up and he said, yeah, God's holding back on you, isn't he? I tell you why God doesn't want you to have that one tree. If you touch it and eat that one tree, you'll be like God. Oh, you mean God doesn't have my best at heart? God's not looking out for... Oh, no. God doesn't want you to have that because if you'll have that, you'll find life. And they looked at the fruit and they're surprised because it looked good. And why should we not have it if it looks good? And they tasted it and it probably tasted good. And they have the fall. Adam and Eve, what was their sin? They felt that God was holding back on them. And they didn't trust Him. And then all of a sudden, now we lose what we had. You see, that's what envy, it's a total negative, doesn't have any positives. First of all, we start looking at other people and we start wishing we had what they have. Then we start resenting that they have it and we don't. And now we look at what we have and what we have, we lose what we have. You get a new car and you're happy about your new car, but immediately somebody gets a nicer one or a newer one. You get a nice house and guess what? In a few years, it's not new anymore. I remember when my parents, they bought that house, first new house that they ever had. And I go to it, and you know what? All the houses in that neighborhood, their wooden fences are falling down. It's been 35 years. But I remember how excited they were when they moved into the new neighborhood. And it's real easy to look at somebody that has a newer house, or nicer house, or bigger house, or better house, prettier wife, funner wife. You remember that song, and I forget who sings it. The Friday night blues, they get in your shoes and they work. I'll keep going if there's anybody that remembers the song. Nobody, that was a song. And the thing that's in it is while he's taking his shoes off, she's putting hers on. She got the Friday night blues. And the bad thing is the neighbors, they tell the story and they make it sound so true. When we envy, what we do is we forget what we have. I tell you what, you want to know what you have, you better get out of the country. Go to a different side of town. Go see somebody that doesn't have near what you have, and I tell you what, it will sober you. We have so much. And when we get envious, guess what? We lose what we have. We get into what I call comparisonitis. And what we do in comparisonitis is nothing is good enough. Because there's somebody that's always prettier, smarter, stronger, faster, better. And all of a sudden we don't realize what we have. Well, number three, how do we deal with envy? Well, the neat thing back in Psalm 73, we have the answer. Verse 17, I love the answer in verse 17. Then one day I went into God's sanctuary to meditate and I thought about the future of these evil men. Isn't that good? I kind of paused from the rat race. By the way, the rat race, who wins? The king rat. You know, I quit running. I quit doing all this. I went to church. I went to worship. I went to meet God. I went to meditate. Now, skipping down to verse 21. When I saw this, what turmoil filled my heart. I saw myself so stupid and so ignorant. I must seem like an animal to you, O God. Because he was realizing that he had been envious. that envy was destroying his life, and he got back to God and he saw the majesty of God and the love of God, and he said, God, I must seem like an animal to you. But then he says, but even so you love me and you're holding my right hand. Isn't that good? How many movies do you see, and I'm thinking of Star Trek right now, which is probably another thing that y'all don't know the songs I know, you don't know the movies I know, and every time there's somebody falling, they don't know, and they reach out and they grab them, and they pull them up with one arm, and I think, who can do that? Catch them and pull them up, and sometimes there's two people, and with one arm, and they pull it, oh, hallelujah. But that's what the writer says. Oh, I got so caught up in envy, and I got, but you know what, God, even at that, you still love me, and I'm on this cliff, and I'm falling off, and you reached out your hand, and you caught me. You pulled me up. How do you solve envy? You get back and focus on God and His love for you, and all your desires, I desire Him. If your desire is something else, I tell you what, you're going to have envy. Last time I'm going to try it. If y'all haven't watched this one, I'm getting a new church. Did y'all see Rocky? Yeah, oh good, I finally connected. So exciting. In the first one, it's great because, you know, he's fighting, he's just getting the tar beat out of him, and his manager says, stay there, Rocky! And he says, I can't, I got to go to the distance. So I can prove that I'm not a bum. Remember that line? I have to go 15 rounds. I gotta make it through, because in his mind, to justify him being valid, he had to be tough and he had to go through it. He grew up at the wrong side of town. He didn't have the education. He didn't have a lot of things. And he thought, if I could just go 15 rounds, then I'll be somebody. Now, the problem is, that's not what gives you validity. And by the way, the Rocky movies are true. I think there's like 30 of them. But when he does win and he gets successful and everything, then you also find out that he loses it all. I mean, it doesn't give you validity. But did you see how us trying to find something that gives us validity and value, that's what we envy? So that's where you have to come back to God and say, God, you love me. Even when I don't act my best, you reach out your arm and you catch me. And then I won't have to struggle with envy. I'm valid because God said so. I'm valid because Jesus died for me. Isn't that interesting that the Bible says Jesus wasn't very good looking? He had nothing of his form that would draw esteem. He was rejected. He was hated. He was beaten. And he was crucified. Talk about not fair. And he cried out to God and he was forsaken. The only one that was good, he was forsaken. And then he comes back and says, God, into your hand. Jerry, it sounds good. How do you know that God loves me? How do you know that God will reach out to me? I tell you how you know. Because of what God did through Jesus. Because he was forsaken. He'll never forsake me. Got a problem with envy? I tell you what, go to the temple. Go to God. Put your desire on Him. And He will lift you up. Always stand. Always sing.